Hey, this is the Spirit Talk Podcast. Welcome, everyone. I'm Daniel Brinkman, and this is...
Matthew Brinkman.
My brother. I'm just going to do sort of like a... I'm going to give him questions, and we can just have a conversation like that. So, when would you say that you became saved? What is your salvation story?
Oh, that is a hard question. It was never... I don't think there was really ever really like a defining moment, because I... grew up in a Christian household.
Hold up, I'm sorry about that.
That's fine. Oh!
There we go.
Didn't start up on its own?
Yeah, I don't know.
Cool. Yeah, I grew up in a Christian household. Just kind of took it more seriously, like, more and more over the years. I think there were probably a couple moments that kind of knocked me into that, I guess. Not just one. So, like, one moment would be in high school going on, like, we used to go to this place called Living Waters. And it was like a week-long like camp type Christian place, and I just remember like my relationship with God becoming more real. Like I became more about relationship there rather than just like I don't know, He's sovereign and over my life, and I have nothing, I can't do anything about it or something. I don't know. Like, it was like a different relationship before then, and then. Yeah, just going to like different churches and stuff, and then I think college was a good experience for me, if you could call it college, a 2-year ministry experience.
What do you mean if you could call it college?
I don't know. Some people wouldn't call that college, like a master's commission type thing.
Oh,
and then I think after that was probably when I like had to start becoming my own person and like doing my own thing and like realized that I couldn't like piggyback off of anybody else's spirituality or like anybody else's relationship with God was when like I realized, okay, I have to like figure out what this means to me. I got to figure out who God is to me, and it has to be real for me and not just like me adjusting to, because like I always was in Christian environments, basically like Christian household, went to church, the school I went to was Christian school, the college I went to was a Christian college, and then after that I was just like in churches a bunch, so I always surrounded it with like in a Christian environment, and so it was easy to just like adjust to my environment and like be a Christian. I don't know if that makes sense, but it had to become real for me at some point, and so I had to figure out kind of what it meant for me, and I went through that actually late 2020. So, like, pretty recently, where I was, like, actually kind of going through, like, a darker season where I just was trying to figure out what the heck, like, this meant for me. And like, it didn't start feeling real until after that. And then right after that was when I, like, started, like, God started opening doors for me to start, like, being a part of, like, stuff that just felt bigger than myself.
Yeah. What does your specific ministry look like? That kind of goes into that question.
Sweet.
What types of things are you involved in?
Yeah, so lots of outreach events and stuff, just splitting up into groups or going out on our own onto the streets and it's kind of an interesting thing, because I'm pretty new to it, so it's like I don't go and force the gospel onto people. I kind of try to find people who seem like they're whose body language seems to imply that they're open to like having a conversation, and then like from there, from having like a natural conversation, can usually it's pretty natural that it can like turn towards God in some way, or we can ask to pray for them at the end of the conversation or something, and that like opens up massive doors and plants seeds, and sometimes they're like open to right away receiving Christ into their life, which is amazing. But that's one big thing. And then worship events, tons of worship events for like other Christians, and also like leading worship in the streets for whoever's listening.
What would you say that your God-given mission in life is?
But playing music. I truly feel that God wants me to minister through music. So leading worship and then like using... Or even playing like pop concerts or something like secular music, and then afterwards like talking to people who are there about like God and stuff, because usually when you're on stage and they see you on stage and they see you performing, it like makes it really easy to afterwards, like it kind of opens up. They are way more open to hearing, like talking to you, because they like think you're a big deal for whatever reason. That's just what a stage does. Kind of makes people, makes it easier for people to be willing to listen to you, especially when you're down on like the same level as them. You get off the stage and you're on their like on their level, and they come and talk to you and stuff. It's like really easy to like just pour into them and love on them, or talk to them about God, or pray for them, or whatever. Kind of the same thing. So
it somehow opens a door to connect with them.
Yeah, right. And then through connecting with them, it's like become, it opens up doors to like pray for them, which opens up doors to kind of just like build off of itself in a way. I don't know if that makes sense. But that's just in my experience, and that's what I feel like God's calling me to, as well as like playing like most of the stuff that my band is like writing isn't overtly like Christian stuff. It is, but it's not like worship, and it's not like CCM. We're singing about typically like positive messages. And so they're gonna have like a good impact on people whether or not they know God or not. And then at our shows, like talking to people afterwards. Typically, like as of lately, it's been students, because we're playing for like either schools or like actual church events. But either way, it's like students who may or may not know God, and then we'll play a show, and they think we're like the greatest thing ever for whatever reason.
So you think about like vocations and what people do in God-given gifts, mm-hmm. in their God-given gifts. Like, a person may be a doctor, and they may feel called by God to be a doctor and to operate just in that vocation. But I think that God-given gifts run deeper than just in what you do, mm-hmm. but in who you are more so.
Yeah, it's like, it's who you are as a person and how you do your God-given mission.
Yeah, I think so.
Basically, that's how you do it. Because, like, I was called to music. Like, it was pretty vague. It wasn't like you're going to do music and then you're also going to, like, speak to people and, like, about me kind of thing. Like, about God. But that's obviously, obviously to me, what is going to naturally be a part of it. Mm-hmm. So I think whatever you're called to, you just find ways to use that for God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't have a solid thought after that, but yeah, that's pretty much it. What's been your pattern of Bible reading and prayer over the years, and how has it evolved?
Oh, okay. Yeah, over the years, pretty, for sure, inconsistent. Typically, it's, I'm trying to make time in the morning, and then, like, I would say probably over the past, I don't know, even like five years ago, I didn't like... That's a long time. That's a long time ago, I'm realizing. But, like, 5 years ago, I, like, didn't really have a prayer or, like, Bible reading. I didn't have much of a prayer life, or, like, I didn't spend a lot of personal time with God. It was, like, mostly if I was, like, in the car and I had free time, then I was just, like, talking to God, because that was, like, convenient for me. But in the past, like, couple of years, it's developed, kind of started off as just me, like, making a set-aside time every morning to pray. And then if I didn't do it in the morning, then I would try to make time at night, but, like, night's really hard because I would usually, like, start falling asleep or something. Yeah, I just kind of realized and it's still inconsistent. I still miss days. But, like, I realized how much I needed to have that set aside time every morning to start my day off on the right note. Yeah, and I know I have to be intentional about getting, like, time alone with God, like, time away from... and the reason I say that is because... The reason I specify like alone is because I've also made it, I try to make it a habit over the years of like spending time with God throughout the day, like not hanging up the phone on him like in the morning and then just like never talking to him at all until the next morning. I try to like, it's like a lot of little things, like I'll see something or it's a lot of me thanking him for things throughout the day. Like, I just realized things that I'm grateful for, which, like, could also be, like, you could also refer to that as, like, worship or praising him. Like, I'm just grateful and I'm, like, giving him the glory for that thing or that situation or what that person said or whatever. If I don't get it for a few days, I end up getting, like, really anxious or, like, even depressed and stuff. So, like, it can have, like, a pretty big negative effect on me. So, I had something else, but I'm blanking on what it was.
Hmm. Okay. Well, that's good. I mean, that answered my question.
Good enough. It's
good enough. I was thinking the other day that our disposition could be really after being thankful for what we do have rather than always being in a constant state of, like, asking for things all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's like, we know we don't want to have prayer time be limited to just sitting down and asking God for things, but I mean, just like daily life and throughout the day, just having that disposition of the abundance that he's given us rather than so much so like, oh God, I'm so weak, like I can't do anything, like I need you so much. Like, those things are good. Mm. But I think what actually gives us, I guess, the empowerment is to be reminded of the truth, I think, in ways. And I think that reminding ourselves of what we do have in Christ, I think, can change our attitudes and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
What does intimacy with God look like to you?
It's making that alone time. Kind of, like, that kind of just goes right with it. But it's also, like, being very vulnerable and real and being, like, I mean, God knows everything, but just being willing to talk about, like, the real stuff and the, like, the painful stuff or things that are humbling. I'm very internal with the way that I, like, process and like, think about things and whatever. And so, like, sometimes even, like, in worship, I'm, like, not actually vocalizing my worship at all. It's, like, all internal. And it can be kind of a humbling thing, actually, for me to vocalize it. But I think that's, like, necessary. I think that, like, that almost because it's, it almost makes it more valuable, like, to God because I'm humbling myself by doing that. Like, that, like, is harder for me to do. I don't know if it actually means more, but I feel like it means more to God because it's, like, a more difficult thing for me to do rather than just, like, I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. I think sometimes where I've experienced, like, where it, the praise and, like, thanks wells up so much that I just can't help myself and it just, you know, goes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it just has to be a natural thing. Probably.
Yeah.
I would say it has to be a natural thing, but like letting it just flow out like naturally, but there is still like this aspect of just telling yourself to praise God in that way. I think also is honorable or pleasing to God, to feel like it's pleasing to God to just submit like yourself to God, or like that kind of a thing where like, yeah, I don't feel like praying right now, but I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna force myself. I'm gonna tell myself, you're gonna do this, you know, telling your flesh to submit. Because you know that your spirit wants to, but your flesh is fighting hard not to do it.
Right, yeah.
I think. What has been on your heart lately?
Oh, what the heck? Okay, that's a hard question.
What's been on your heart? Speak from your heart.
Well, I don't know immediately. That's why it's a hard question.
Search within. Find it.
Okay, yeah. God's been giving me more boldness lately. Kind of through all of, like, the ministry stuff they've been doing.
Sorry.
And you're good. I genuinely feel like the Lord gives me like words of knowledge for people sometimes, like things that they like specifically need to hear, or like God gives me words to like pour into them that I need to tell them, and sometimes I don't because I question like, oh, that's not God, so they don't need to hear that necessarily. And then I just, like, don't speak up because I'm too shy or timid or whatever. And so I feel like God's been kind of nudging me towards, like, just committing and doing that, even if it's uncomfortable for me, which it is 100% uncomfortable for me. So I've been making steps. I've been taking steps towards doing that. Like, even when it's uncomfortable, just, like, speaking what I think I'm hearing from God to people. And it sucks sometimes because it's, like, awkward and there's, like, not always a confirmation that, like, that was from God or that they needed to hear that or whatever. But I just have to trust that it was. And I'll kind of just, like, know that in my obedience, God's going to, like, there's going to be a reward, like, in my obedience in that. Like, hopefully it grows and I'll start, like, knowing for sure or I'll start hearing more from the Lord. And so just trying to be more obedient to what I think he's speaking to me, I guess, in general.
Mm-hmm. What makes you feel most alive?
I don't know why that just felt like the most unrelated question to what we were just talking about. But it could be the most unrelated. I could talk about like bombing hills on my longboard at like 40 miles an hour.
If that's what makes you feel most alive.
I don't know, but yeah, I don't know. Okay, that's a good point. There's a certain state I get in when I'm drumming. Why does this feel closer to my face all of a sudden?
There's
a certain state I get in when I'm drumming. Some people call it like the flow state. Some people call it like, I don't know, meditating or something. Whatever. People call it different things. People have different names for it. But like, for me, it like actually is a spiritual thing where like I feel like I literally feel like more connected with God while I'm like when I get in this like state, and then like my drumming just kind of comes naturally. And I think it's because like there's a certain amount of confidence when I like feel like what I'm doing is for the Lord and like the Lord is pleased with what I'm doing. Then I like it, like things come more naturally and I'm more willing to like commit to them. Because sometimes with like music and drumming and stuff, I'll have an idea in my head. And if I even second guess it for a second, I'll mess up. And like,
Or just not do it.
But like, sometimes I'll second guess it while I'm doing it. And then it goes in the hole. And so like, I don't know. So yeah, definitely there's a certain state in music and in drumming for me that state makes me feel most alive.
Yeah, I think I know exactly what you're talking about. When I've been on the drums or on guitar, I feel like it's just spirit-led. I guess I would just relate it to anything spirit-led when you have the confidence and you're just doing it,
mm-hmm.
And it's the spirit moving through you. I feel like that is exactly what is happening when you feel like that. I would agree that like when I feel my worship is spirit-led on the drums or on guitar, where I'm just like I'm going for something and it sounds so much better, and it is I don't know, it's just led by the spirit, I think.
Yeah,
it's just led by the spirit. And
yeah, I think so.
Awesome. What do you feel like God has been wanting you to do in this season of your life? Maybe it's for me, it's one thing is self-discipline.
Mm-hmm. Personally, I feel like I feel like it's just like he's just like, yeah, like I don't know how to word it, calling me to. I don't know if that's how I, for lack of a better term, a state of like obedience and just like saying, giving him my yes and everything, and then just trusting in him in it. I feel there's a lot of reward in that, and it's not always immediate. But sometimes it is, and I'm in a weird season where I don't really know where it's going at all. But I feel so confident and even, like, reassured by the Lord that I'm in the right place. So even though I have no idea where it's going, and that, like, typically for me is, like, very unsettling, I feel, like, really at peace with it because of where it's at, because of where I'm at, and because of what I've seen God do.
What is one book that has impacted you spiritually?
It's been a while since I've read it, so that's what I was thinking. But it's Radical.
Okay, I've read part of that one.
Same, I didn't read the full thing.
David Platt?
Yeah, I didn't read the full thing, and it was, like, very eye-opening as far as, like, as Christians, like, actually called to, and how we're actually, like, called to live. And like eye-opening, especially when like when I read it to like I'm not living like that at all, but I was inspired to when I read it, and now I feel like I'm living more of like a radical life. I haven't read in a while, so I really don't remember what it was, what like the specifics of what it was. What do you remember, like what he
kind of the lifestyle? I remember the gist of kind of what he was saying for the first two chapters or something, or whatever. I read that actually, it was a long time ago too, so I don't really.
It's been a while. I need to reread it, but I remember that really impacting me, and like I feel like really relates to the season I'm in right now, which is kind of encouraging. Maybe that's why I thought of it, because like it's kind of like the stuff that I'm living in right now, which is like when I read the book, I was like, yeah, I don't, because I was just in a place in life where I just was, like, didn't think I was capable of ever living that kind of lifestyle. Like, the you know, like being a missionary to everyone, basically. Like, that kind of lifestyle. And I'm closer to that now, and I'm way more warmed up to the idea. But back then, it kind of, like, terrified me. Like, is that... like, the idea of me doing that was, like, terrifying. But now it doesn't scare me as much, which is great, and I'm actually doing it sometimes. It's not, like, it's not literally everyone that I come in contact with, but I try to discern, like, I don't know, it's a weird thing, where, like, I feel like with that, with, like, speaking to people about, like, Christ and stuff, to me to stop when we pass time.
It is actually still recording, yeah.
Cool. You're good. Okay, sweet.
There's a red line.
I don't know what that means.
That means it's recording.
Okay. Cool. I forgot what I was saying entirely.
Okay.
You have thoughts?
I had thought.
Cool.
I'm losing it. It's gone.
Okay, sweet. It. I was just... Okay, I remember what I was saying. I remember what I was saying now. With, like... being bold and, like, speaking to people about the Lord and, like, sharing the gospel. I am in a season where I only do it when I feel the Spirit's, like, prompting. Whereas I feel like what the book was, like, suggesting was to do it, like, at all times.
Do what at all times?
Like speak, like, preaching the gospel, basically. Like, doing it, like, the whole, like, who is it? Preach the gospel and when necessary use words. Isn't that like a...
Yeah, I think C.S. Lewis. Quote. I think okay. C.S. Lewis, yeah. Or someone said
it's
that.
It's that kind of thing where like you're always... Your mindset is always there and you're always right. Doing that with every person you come in contact with.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm think not we quite can, there yet.
I think like, we can live it out.
Yeah.
By preaching the gospel with our lives.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty big on really being... led by the Spirit to do something, to speak for someone or into mm-hmm. someone's life mm-hmm. or to do something rather than at all times, because I feel like we can really easily get into a works-based acceptance, like God accepts me.
Right.
And if we feel like we need to, it's an obligation, I think, that we can fall into.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I don't remember what the book was talking about exactly with that, but...
Right.
But yeah, I'm definitely big on that because I feel like, I mean, obviously I think that's what Jesus did because mm-hmm. he said he only did what he saw the Father doing, and he didn't heal everyone that he came into contact with. He healed so many people, but he didn't heal everyone he came into contact with.
Mm-hmm.
Dude,
so that, yeah, that is pretty much exactly what I was, like, what I feel too. So like with that, part of the reason why I feel so strongly about, like, waiting for the Spirit's prompting is because, me personally, if I force myself just to, like, start talking to somebody about God, it typically feels 100% me,
yeah.
And not God. It feels 100% like I'm doing it out of my own strength.
Right.
And then it never accomplishes anything. Like,
right.
maybe I plant a seed. Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe they think I'm a total, like...
And maybe God still used freak. That.
Yeah, no. Right. I believe God can still use it, but... Right. But usually it can be very discouraging for me, so I literally have right. to kind of be, like, careful about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right now. Yeah, I think it's a growing process.
Next question. Bible verse you've been thinking about, or passage been on your mind lately?
Romans 12, 2. The whole...
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yep.
The whole, just, like... idea that I need the Lord to, like, renew my mind before, and then transformation will come, like, naturally. And so, like, I've been actually praying about that a lot, like, that the Lord just, like, changes my thinking and, like, or shows me something that, like, allows me to see things in a new way, or, like, because, like, dude, I don't hate sin enough. I wish I hated sin more. So I've been, like, praying, like, God, like, helps me, like, see sin more clearly and how, like, more how he sees it so that I can, like, hate it more. And then in that, it'll be easier for me to not give into stuff as often.
And also, yeah, that's something I've been thinking about. And I, passage I've been, it's been on my mind for the past, couple days, Romans 8:6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. So to constantly be thinking in the way of the flesh and thinking in the way of our fleshly selves is death. So to allow all these, like, internal or, you know, internal temptations or what we want to think about or what we want to imagine or fantasize about, or what wrong desires may try to enter, to set our minds on the flesh is death. All of that is death. You know what it's like to go throughout the day and feel like you're in the flesh and you feel like it's just death. It's just death. There's no life and there's no peace in that. So you heard about Ravi Zacharias.
Heard of him?
You've heard of him. Oh, okay. He's a, yeah. He's been in the news lately. He's a huge. He's the most famous apologetic. Speaker and in modern day, he just died of cancer last year, and it came out where he was having a ton of sexual misconduct with. Yeah, so much, like, it's really, 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 really terrible because. His impact was huge.
Right.
And so.
And then that one small thing can almost, like.
But the thing is.
Nullify that past stuff. Yeah. For some people.
And the thing is, it's. Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't want to linger on it too much, but the thing is, like, it's not just one small thing. It's, like, over the course of years of sexual misconduct. Whatever. Yeah, yeah. Either way, he had a whole. 12-page report of all the evidence found on his sexual misconduct, and, you know, it came out, and I used to listen to his podcast, so I was reading through it, and it's disturbing and shocking, but I'm thinking, I lost where I was kind of going with this, but I'll talk about it anyway. I was just thinking, like, what if my internal desires and internal, like, imaginations of the past or my present imaginations or envy or just all my internal things that nobody hears about and nobody sees, what if that was read aloud? I think what you said about how serious sin is, that's what I've been thinking about with that. Just remembering, it just reminds me of the damage of sin and the seriousness of accountability and the seriousness of how bad sin is and how serious sin is.
Yeah.
I guess I'll end it with one last question. Why do you want to serve God?
Oh, what the heck?
Did that sound confrontational?
No, but it definitely caught me off guard. Oh, yeah, you can come in.
Yeah, come on in. I'll hold him for the last question.
Sorry, I didn't know you were...
Yeah, we're doing a thing.
Yeah, it's okay. Wow.
Baby!
Alright.
Can you ask a question again?
Why do you want to serve God?
Why do I want to? Can't imagine not. After experiencing just the small amount of him that I've experienced, like, what I know about him and... who he is, and I can't imagine not. It feels very Christianese to talk to answer almost, just because like a lot of I don't understand his love for me or his love in general. I don't understand his love. Like, I understand it so little. I don't know how to word this. You know what I mean? Like, the amount that I understand him and his love is like, I'm really glad you put this by. He's ruining the whole setup.
All right.
It's like a mustard seed. You know what I mean? Like, that's how much I understand it. And like, I just know that if I could fully understand even just God's love for me, like, there's so much else that's good about him. But like, even if I could just understand his love for me fully, my life would be like transformed, like, in such an insane and intense way. I often think about this, dude. Like, what if, so in heaven, like, we have free will. Like, I think that, like, what if the only reason, like, we can't sin in heaven is because in heaven we just fully grasp who God is and what he's done. And so we have no desire to ever do anything against him because we fully grasp that.
Also, the temptation is gone, I think, too.
Oh,
I think the darkness and the temptation... That is darkness.
Okay.
That's the...
That makes sense, too. Yeah.
But I think what you're saying is, like, there's not this, we're in control of... We're controlled by God now completely.
Right.
But yes, we'll be, like, controlled by God completely, but I think it's going to be less, like, mechanical, I think, is what you're saying.
Right.
Of what heaven that, like, will be like.
Right. And I don't know. So that's kind of a roundabout way of answering the question, but...
Yeah,
just who I've come to understand, like, the relationship that I've gained with God. I couldn't leave.
Do
that.
Anything else?
Yeah,
yeah. I think about that. I thought about that verse when you first started answering, where people were leaving Jesus because of his teaching, and he asked his disciples if they were going to leave him also, and I think Peter said something like, "Where else are we going to go? You have the words of life." That's what I think about, like, where else, really, what else are we supposed to do in life? If we know the truth, how could we turn our backs
once
on
once you've
it?
Experienced that? Yeah, exactly.
All right. Sweet.
Baby time.
This has been the Spirit Taught Podcast with me, Atticus, and Matthew.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Adios.